everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about the ending of Apocalypse some more, whether we want to or not. I'm here with Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, let's just, should we just jump into it since this is like, what, is this like part three for the finale here?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of thoughts and opinions on certain things that happened that we will almost certainly spend plenty of time discussing when arrive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so last time we left off with Mallory being shuttled upstairs to a bathtub and them getting ready to dunk her in a tub because that was the only surviving tub after the apocalypse. And they needed a tub for the time travel spell. Because that's the only reason I can justify this is that the nuke also took out tubs everywhere.
Well,
because otherwise, why would they be here?
You've seen Lethal Weapon 2, right? Where it's like the old ceramic tub can survive the bomb and stuff. You know what I mean? Like a regular bomb. So ipso facto, you know? Why not a nuke?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The one safe place left, the damn tub.
That's right. It's going to be all people taking a soak and doing weird, like, manosphere videos, you know, in the said tub.
Yeah, let me tell you about my primal lifestyle choices that let you cast spells worse.
Eat shit, Anita Sarkeesian.
Because it boosts your testosterone or whatever.
It boosts your test. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get you on a cycle of icing and heating your balls for 20 minutes or whatever, and you're going to be awful at spells. You're going to forget how to cast a fireball.
Dentists hate this guy. Dentists absolutely hate this guy. Also, in case you guys forgot, I don't know that it's related to the tub thing, but the reason why there's so much urgency, Brock fucking stabbed Mallory, kind of apropos of nothing. He was just also there and stabbed Mallory for the love of the game, to make make this more stressful for everyone, I guess.
Legit, they could have had him just like swing in on a rope, do a Tarzan yell, and then just go wild card, and it would like make as much sense as what actually happened.
Yeah, but the previous witch season, they're fighting off like witch hunters. Remember, they all got old guns and stuff, and they're just like, eh, whatever. And now this time around, it's like, oh my god, they're getting stabbed and shot by a robot. Sort of, it's terrible. These witches, what's happened to them?
Yeah, this guy's not even, like, the guy who stabs Mallory, who is our, for all intents and purposes, like, get-out-of-jail-free card because she's so strong or whatever. The guy who stabs her, like, isn't even related. We find out he's, not even related to the witches at all. He's a guy that, like, randomly Coco met at a hair salon in a month before all of this happened. He's not at all, like, associated with the Warlocks. He's not at all associated with Michael Langdon. He's not at all associated with Coco
like
prior to anything.
He's
not
knife.
The witch hunters. He's just a guy, and he
not even the damn jazz man. He's not even related to the damn jazz ghost. What the fuck is he doing
and
here?
He's holding it's a butter knife too. It's not even like anything. Mallory sucks, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, but he also doesn't even know Mallory. Like, he just like kind of knows of Mallory. Like, he just stabs Mallory for the literal love of the game. He can hear everything that's going on leading up to this point, which is a bunch of witches facing off against the Antichrist, and he's like, you know what's important to me? Stabbing this lady I don't know. Just
right.
To make
misogyny.
Things worse. Yeah, misogyny. Yeah.
That's right. I've got to hurt a woman right now.
Any woman.
If I don't, I'm going to be so mad.
Right.
It just feels like deploying the funny little cottage core witches to like an active battle zone and like not teaching them like you're not going to want to have your head like out. And about people are going to be shooting shit. So like, keep your head down. Yeah, because if a bullet just goes into your brain and there's no other witches around to pick you up, like that's it, right? Like you're done unless Michael Langdon decides to save you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
instead of
even
deleting you for whatever reason.
Not even if you have a specific power that has been shown in the past to be able to circumvent that. Looking at you, Queenie, who did shoot herself in the head and survived because that's how she killed the witch hunter guy in the last coven season. who got sniped and didn't do that this time for some reason. Just ate it and died. Do you think it was because they were like, well, we can't have Queenie in the final battle? Like, how are we going to explain that? Because that's dumb, because they had her lose it to a literal ghost in season 5.
Maybe.
She's not that strong, according to their own rules. So
maybe she's skittish about it now. You know what I mean? Because, like, bet, like, you know, like, if you did that and died, be like, well, I got to be careful now. You know, I don't know who the hell a ghost is, you know.
She's like, it didn't work against a ghost, so it's definitely not going to work against a robot.
Well, she tries, right? Doesn't she, like, manage to, like, cut Mead's throat, but it doesn't really matter? So it's like,
which is also very confusing.
Right.
I guess the simulacra of a human also counts for pain transfer.
Is there estrogen in the robot?
Yeah. That's the weird stuff that came out.
Those two dudes would do that, though, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Give Meadbot a period. Be like, also, not only is she an agent of Mossad, but she also menstruates. Congratulations. Here's your robot.
And, like, quadruple Q implants, but then they probably could. That didn't work out, so whatever. You
Michael
know what I mean?
Asked them to remove those. The first model shipped with those, and Michael was like, I don't know, guys. This is a little weird. And they were like, fine, I guess. And then they took them out.
Right.
Well, like, if she didn't menstruate, she would realize she's a robot, because that's the only that's the only explanation for that.
Absolutely.
And then we'd be cooked.
Yeah. She'd just be a regular gun arm person, you know, like you see on the bus, or
like
whatever.
Mega Man,
like Space Adventures Cobra. Yes, right, I keep saying this. Just a normal guy. Oh man.
Yeah. So Mallory is done. I guess she's bleeding out in the tub and dying. For some reason, Cordelia, who is still the supreme, cannot stop this. Nobody knows a healing spell, including Cordelia, who that was kind of her whole deal in season 3, is that she was a botanist witch who could heal people.
She also just, like, waved her hands over 5 people and they all stood up. So, like, I feel like maybe... Is it like she needs to finish dying? Is it a thing where instead what they should have done, and Cordelia once again is incapable of action, was like, all right, Mallory, I need to finish you off real quick because I can't revive you unless you die first. So I need to kill you all the way. So just, like, be chill about it. I'm going to really put this butter knife in you.
Or she's in the tub. Just drown her. That's what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were just going to drown her and be like, okay, once you're dead, we can undead you. But until then, we can't fix what's going on. So, like...
I'm shocked that, like, I didn't give it any credit at all. I'm like, there's no causality in the writing of this show. Like, she's just going to be back, and there's not going to be any explanation. It's fine, you know? That was my theory of what was going to happen next.
God, why is it, like, a running theme in American Horror Story where I guess it wasn't this time, but I can see why, since it has happened in the past, you would assume, like, oh, yeah, drowning someone in a tub is perfectly humane, according to American Horror Story.
Yeah, they did it
to Nan.
You're
just allowed to do it when it's not, like, it's not sad. Their ghost can't be upset about it.
Yeah, they literally did it to Nan and treated it like it was fine and normal. So it's, like, that's not a thing that they don't do.
And then also Vampire Dad, when she gave Grandpa vampire juice and had to drown him in a tub.
But you know what? If she drowns, then she is not a witch, right? So So then Cordelia's like, shit, I fucked up again.
Wait,
you know,
I thought so witches just, like, didn't float. they can't drown?
Isn't it like if you drown, you're not a witch? Right? So then you're just a villain.
Yeah.
So then happen is she drowns, and then Cordelia would be like, shit, I've messed up again. Common W for me. Whoops. Oh, well,
also,
you know.
Hey, I'm thinking about it now. I didn't write any notes about it, but I'm thinking about it now. We watched Mallory, like, reverse time save, like, 3 people in this show so far. She didn't want to give it, like, a good college try on her own injury. She was just like, well, I can't do it on myself, obviously.
Nope. No. Princess Anastasia and nuclear bombs. That's all it's good for.
Yeah.
You know, also choking, maybe. But
and the guy who got burnt to literal ash. I reversed his thing, and the lady who was choking to death, or did choke to death.
Yeah, actually, you're
reversed her thing. But, like, me being stabbed, it probably wouldn't work, so I'm not going to try.
I love
the
how
the choking thing was like extra crazy too, because she like did like a psychic scalpel, like she was some kind of fucking Naruto medic, just like slashed open the throat, reached in, grabbed the chicken nugget, and then reversed time on the wound or whatever. Which, like, okay, great. So about that first part where you did like a scalpel with your fingy, how, let's talk about that more. Can you do like Wolverine psychic
claws? The Iron Man finger? Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's the limitations on the fingy powers here?
It's funny. I feel like sometimes like my brain gets bored where it's like, okay, Slowbee, if it doesn't make sense, you have to think about it. But then we point out stuff like this. I'm like, shit, it doesn't make any sense. Like there's no bottom. It's so weird. Like how dumb this gets.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I think that the common MO with American Horror Story and this episode in particular is like, they're like, if we do a bunch of stuff that's very confusing very quickly, no one will have time to question what's happening and everyone will just accept what's going on. Suspension of disbelief will be at an all-time high because everyone will be in a constant state of confusion, so you won't have time to question it.
Right.
Less the suspension of disbelief and more the unabashed ass beating of disbelief. Truly not letting belief stand a chance. Just seeing belief and being like, you gotta go. You're out of here, man.
Like cryogenic suspension, where that disbelief's not ever waking up. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All of this is to say that, like, Cordelia and Myrtle have accepted that Mallory is dead and have tried precisely zero things to save her life. I would like to remind everybody that a core, like a literally probably the core issue in season three was that Cordelia's mom, Fiona, was the Supreme who was dying because another Supreme, which ended up being Cordelia, was becoming the Supreme, and Fiona was not willing to like let that happen. So she was willing to kill any upcoming burgeoning Supremes to keep that from happening. So it seems as though they have firmly taken the stance of that the powers of the Supreme are very linear and you're constantly doing a tug of war with the next one or the previous one, depending on who's alive at the time. So I would like to reiterate that based on their very concrete like rules about the Supreme and who gets the powers, Mallory dying should make Cordelia super strong again. I just want that to be clear because of what happens next, and the very confusing decision that is made like five seconds from now.
Okay.
Okay, the stage has been set. Mm-hmm. Myrtle is like, we're fucked. She says the words, we're fucked, and Mallory dies. Cordelia's like, I love you, Myrtle. I'm gonna go do something. And then she leaves. She goes and walks back the way they came. I guess Brock just fucked off. He decided stabbing one lady was enough and was like, my job here is done. And then left like Tuxedo Mask because he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I stabbed one lady that I didn't know very well. Goodbye.
Now I like women just the same.
All the misogyny left me. When I stabbed that one lady, all the misogyny left me. It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A guy with a terrible moral code, but he sticks to it. He's like, yeah, we're even now. Yeah, I killed one. We're good.
I did kill my girlfriend earlier, and that's why I'm here. Yeah. But this other lady also I'm mad at.
It's like a snack after you eat dinner, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not quite sated. I'm not full still, you know?
I didn't get all of the misogyny out, just most of it. Now it's all
out. Oh, one Twinkie left over. Okay, sure. Now I'm good. Now I can go to bed. Yeah.
Like, you thought you were done, but then you end up, like, having a chat with the other people at the table for, like, another 30 minutes, and then they loop around and they're like, do you want dessert? And you're like, yeah. I guess now. Yeah. If it's here and I'm here, I might as well stab someone.
A little bite off of someone else's, like, big slice of chocolate cake because they ordered dessert and you were, like, too bashful to order it, so you just take, like, a little bite because those calories don't count. Yeah, that's what he's doing here, is this murder doesn't count.
Exactly.
My God. He's
and then
gone.
Not a third, though. Now I've really got to go. You know, take easy, you know?
A third one, I might as well have just ordered my own cheesecake at this point.
Yeah.
So Michael has eaten through, not literally, but like metaphorically is chewed through all of the other remaining defenses that have been sent to stop him. And fortunately, they happen to meet exactly at the stairwell where Cordelia's standing up high and he's down low, so they can have like an Anakin and Obi-Wan-esque I have the high ground face off. And she just kind of starts yelling at him. She calls him a Nepo baby, which he is. And she calls him like a scared little boy, which he also is. He's 8.
Yeah. You made an 8-year-old do the nuclear apocalypse. That's like a lot. That's a lot for anyone to hold. And he's like 8. So yeah.
Honestly, he's handled the pressure a lot better than Mallory, who's checks notes nebulous age between 16 and 24.
And dead.
And dead.
Mm. Yeah.
And Cordelia's like, "What's up, you loser Nene baby? You tried to kill me all these times because I killed your mom and you couldn't kill me, Lamau, Lamau, Lamau." And he's like, "Oh, no, I knew you'd live this long. That was, like, part of the plan, actually, is I wanted you to live this long because I wanted you to watch everyone you loved die." And, like, he's right. So, like, he did kind of win. Like, that is the more... He took the Game of Thrones route of, like, "No, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to kill everybody you love so you have to live with the trauma of knowing you couldn't keep them alive because you're a dog shit supreme."
Sorry, wait. Why did he want to get... Why was he getting revenge on Cordelia for that, though?
His mom, Mead Butt, he's still mad. That was like his whole deal. That was his whole deal.
Yeah. Oh, right. I forgot. Yeah, sorry.
Before that, I guess he was just going to do the apocalypse and kill the witches for the love of the game.
He just wanted to kill the witches and warlocks by default. Like, he just hated them because they were,
I guess, because Mead hated them. Mead hated
got too
witches?
Uppity.
I don't know why. Satanists don't like witches for some reason.
That's not true.
We've covered it, right? Yeah, it doesn't make sense because exactly.
Yeah, but that's his like full factor for wanting to fuck up Cordelia specifically is because she killed Meebot.
I remember. Yeah,
she said it.
Also, he's right. Every dub he claims is correct. Like, I don't care if you plan on doing like a little time travel thing and having there be an alternate universe where you like won and everything was okay later. Like, this universe is here and happening right now, and you lost in a way that no one even thought was fully possible.
Right.
Like, you've lost harder than, like, honestly, Michael Langdon's just like, "Damn, I didn't even set that rake up. You just found it on your own." That's crazy.
That's the Cordelia special. Cordelia loves finding rakes to step on. It's like her favorite thing to do. And he's like, "Wow, it's a good thing that you keep doing this because I'm 8 and I'm really bad at making plans. So it's really convenient that you keep doing this for me." So Cordelia's like up on top of the banister or whatever, looking down at him, and she gives a speech I could not give a fuck less about.
It's so bad.
Like,
it's so bad.
She's hooting and hollering. I don't even remember what she says, but it culminates by her being like, "I'm taking this knife that Brock used to stab Mallory." And then she says the phrase, "Satan has one son." This is a direct quote. "Satan has one son." And I'm also like, I don't think that's true. That's a Jesus thing. That you're thinking of God. God has one son. And then she says, "But my sisters are legion, motherfucker." And I'm like, that's not what that quote means. And also that quote is about being full of demons, which is kind of antithetical to your point.
Aren't they mostly all dead, too? Sisters are legion. Not anymore, you know?
Yeah, there's, two of you now. There's literally, two of you.
I think Myrtle, all maybe.
All the overarching themes of her speech, too, are just like, "Oh, well, I'll never back down because I'll defend my witches, and I love my witches so much." And it's like, you mean the ones that there's, like, four?
Two.
Of?
It's now literally like two. It's literally like, two.
The ones he had to get out of hell for you? Like that? Those witches that you love? You know? Like,
like, if this was, like, a heroic character or a character that, like, I don't know, just had a track record of being, like, effective generically of like getting things done, maybe I would give a shit, right? Like if somebody who's very competent says something like this, it's like, oh shit, they have another plan. But with Cordelia, it's just like, yeah, whatever, Cordelia. Why don't you go grow a bonsai about it?
Yeah. Like, it almost makes me think that they wrote this line like earlier into like writing the season before they knew what the fuck was going to happen in this episode. Because like that's the kind of line you deliver in like an Avengers Endgame style like finale, yeah, where like you'd be like, my sisters are Legion, motherfucker, and then you'd have like Marie Laveau come out of one side, and then you'd have like Papa Legba come out, and like a bunch of other witches from like history or something they had summoned from other times. But that is like, not what they do.
It's like if Captain America said like Avengers Assemble, but then nobody came or anything. He didn't have anything to do with anything. And you're like, yeah, oh, okay, I guess. You know, like, fine, whatever, you know.
And, like, the movie wasn't playing it for tragedy. It wasn't, like, right, a low point of, like, Captain America realizing like, he's alone and he's trying his best, but it wasn't enough. Like, not that kind of thing. Like, it was supposed to be, like, a big hero moment where it's like, Avengers, assemble! No one comes and you're supposed to be like, yay, Avengers.
You're like, oh, no, stupid. Captain America. Also, if Captain America was, like, wildly inept at his job and was, like, historically extremely garbage at being a superhero.
Right.
And their plan just required so many things to go right, just like by happenstance. Like the thing Cordelia is about to do only makes sense if you know that you need to do it. It has to have, like, okay, let's just get into it. I don't want to retrofit this. Let's just keep moving. Yeah. So, Constance does her whole thing, or not Constance, goddammit, Cordelia does the whole, like, my witches are legion, and then she stabs herself in the chest and throws herself off down the stairs. Like, she just kills herself. And this is so fucked that her big hero moment is finally accepting that the people who said we should kill you are right. The only correct thing Cordelia has done in this season is say, hey, we should do the ritual of killing me. And by function of that being her only correct action that has made forward progress, that means everybody, Mallory and Myrtle especially, who told her, no, we can't do the ritual of you die so Mallory can fix everything, are personally culpable, I feel like. And in particular are culpable for the apocalypse, for like 9 billion deaths or whatever, because they were wildly incompetent and weren't willing to do what needed to be done when multiple of them recognized this is what needs to be done. And that's why Cordelia getting like a hero moment for this is just like such bullshit, because it's like, you're the reason there's so many problems. Like, you could have done this anytime.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's extremely cool that like the culmination of all this was like, oh, I guess now that everyone's dead, I'll do the thing that we said like a year or two ago would have been the correct answer. Also, it works. For some reason, she stabs herself and that retroactively makes Mallory not dead anymore, which I don't think that's how that works. I don't think that. Like,
right.
I think if a Supreme dies and there's like not another one, I don't think it like retroactively revives another Supreme. I don't think it's like Naruto rules. Like, I don't think that's how it works. But it does. That's not even going to be the most frustrating part of the next 5 minutes. Listeners, if you think that this is like, oh, Mallory's going to come back and she's going to be super strong because now Cordelia's dead, so she's got like the full powers. Wrong. Wrong. If you think what's about to happen is anything even close to that, wrong. Incredibly off base. I don't even know why you would think that. But anyway, Mallory's not dead anymore. And she's allowed to time travel, just like she knows how to do it, because Cordelia's dead, I guess. Her cerebellum is done cooking, because she died? Question mark? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
a tiny bell goes off. Cookies are done. All right, yeah. Time travel time.
Yeah, she got hit with witch puberty all at once and, like, suddenly was fine, and she can do it. She's time traveled now. We are in the past again. Welcome back to the past. We're at Murder House. Yippee! It's 2015, and Michael has just killed the priest that Constance hired to make him not the devil anymore, or whatever she was trying to do with that. Right. He's now like a big boy and a little, or he's a little boy in a big boy's body, and she's killed the priest because the priest tried to exorcise him. I don't even know that the priest could have done that, because like he's not like possessed. He's just like the devil.
Yeah. He's the Antichrist. Yeah, it seems like all you would do is like, you would send the priest in and he would walk out and be like, okay, he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? I exiled him. That's what you wanted, right? Like you wanted him to just like be out of this plane, because that's all we could do. Like there's not like a redeemable trade in there. I'm sorry.
It sounds like a Tim Robbins bit, but that's how it would go, right? Like, no, I got rid of him because there's no redeeming him, okay? You know, like he's dead. That's what you wanted. Yeah. That's your best bet.
He was elementally the Antichrist. Like, right. And you saw where he went. He was a little boy, and then he was still a little boy, but in a large boy's body, right? You saw that? That's not okay. Like, I can't do anything about that.
I could give Constance some credit for not really knowing that and being like, maybe I can get a priest to exorcise this demon. But I also feel like the priest could walk in the room and go, Constance, you got a minute? Because before we keep going, I gotta tell you something. This is not gonna go the way you want. But I guess he gave it the old college try and got killed for his troubles or something, you know? So.
Yeah, like, the more we talk about it, the more I realize that it's not just, like, them not understanding that you can't exorcise the Antichrist. It's that they wrote Michael to, like, not be that, even though he is, because they also have him constantly doing this thing of like, oh, sometimes I black out and then I do like 55 murders, but I don't remember that because I'm a little guy and I'm actually just a little fella.
That's the thing they're ripping off from a movie, right? Like, that's the Omen? The Omen or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not until, like, the third Omen.
The third when, like, one. They like, change it, but yeah.
They changed the canon. Originally, like, he's just an evil little fella.
He's like an evil piece of shit little kid, and you're like, oh my god, you know? Like, problem child, but violent, you know? And then,
okay.
Whereas
but then later on, it's like, why am I the Antichrist or whatever? And it's like, you weren't like that for the past two movies, my dude, but whatever. Yeah. You know? Anyway.
But they committed, like, from the beginning of this season to be like, sometimes Michael isn't evil. He's just a little fella. And, like, he's not bad. He's just, like, a little guy.
What are we trying to write in this moment? And don't worry about any other subsequent moments. You know, like a real writer.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And I guess it's, I don't even know why they would have done that. Because it's not like Dandy in, like, the Freak Show season, where you're like, oh, he could have probably been pretty normal if, like, his mom wasn't bad and, like, bad stuff didn't happen around him. He probably could have been, like, at least a little chill, even though he has quote-unquote serial killer DNA. Like, he probably could have been, like, okay. I think they're going for that here, where they're like, oh, just because his dad was an evil piece of shit who shot up a school doesn't mean he has to be evil. He just has the devil in him a little bit.
Do you know, remember in Cult where, like, Kai was just, like, kind of different depending on what episode needed him to be, and it felt like they didn't really write him, because it's like, I think Kai is probably still the worst of the two characters, but Michael is a lot like that, where it's like, you know, sometimes he's, like, a complete evil manipulative bastard trying to win the Supreme contest for some reason, but then, like, he's not sure what he wants to do and how he's gonna take over the role. What a bunch of pressure. Why isn't my dad talking to me? And then he's just a little kid, you know what I mean? And it's like, pick one.
They want him to be, like, every interpretation of the Antichrist possible all at the same time. Like, they only have one Antichrist allowed in their canon for some reason, according to them, and so they're just, like, doing all of them at once. It's like having Frankenstein's monster or Adam. That's right. I can read. Having him be like the sad, you know, the regrettable character he is, and then in the next scene having him put on like fancy boots and doing a funky dance like he's the serial Frankenstein, like he's Frankenberry or whatever. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So we've gone back to 2015 where he's still just like a little fella in a big fella's body. I cannot overstate that, like, for the rest of this scene, which will be the last scene of this, that he is just a little guy. And it's fucked up because I know now, saying that out loud, why they do it. It's for emotional gravitas when something happens in a few minutes from now. Because you're going to be like, no, he was just a little guy. That's fucked up. Which is fucked up. They shouldn't have made him just a little guy at any point. Because it does make this fucked up. Anyway, he just killed the priest, and he doesn't remember doing it. Constance is yelling at him, and it's actually a pretty funny scene. Constance is going apeshit bonkers bananas and is, like, scolding him like he, like, I don't know, like, broke a vase. She's like, you can't, if someone's just making you mad, you can't just, like, kill them. You should just maim them instead or maybe ask them to leave, which is very funny. And then they have Michael, who is, again, a 16-year-old boy with a 4-year-old inside.
He was crossing my face and yelling at me and wet, and it was hurting me.
It was hurting me, Grandma. Grandma, it hurt me. And I'm like, yeah, honestly, if I was a 5-year-old kid and some dude was like throwing holy water on me and it was hurting me, I would probably fight back to the best of my abilities. It's not his fault. He has like Antichrist powers and was like wildly outclassing the other guy. It's not his fault.
The priest
should
have known.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't just do that. Like, I'll just do exorcism stuff and see what happens. It's like, oh, this is the devil. I'm not going to debunk this. Like, we need the Pope.
It seems you start with therapy first, right? Just to see if, like, this demon possession is maybe just, like, you know, untreated ADD or something. Like, I feel like you start there. And then, like, when you're like, okay, this is clearly something evil. Then maybe you're like, Constance, can you come in here? Or, like, I don't know. If I detected like a single whiff of Antichrist, I'd be like, I gotta at least get a second guy in here.
I need a bishop, another guy in the room, something, you know. And you know what? Like, if I'm Constance too, I'd probably look up a good priest or something on like Yelp, which we've established earlier in this season is somehow really a thing. So you know,
and for churches, and it's for churches. We explicitly know.
Exactly.
She just called the first one in the phone book and was like, "Do you do exorcisms? I wonder if you could do that. Like, if I just called a random church right now and was like, I need an exorcism, would they be like, got it, we got a guy for that?
Do you have money? Which is probably then, right?
Do you have a guy you can send? Yeah, we got a guy we can send. We'll send Phil. He'll handle it. So they're having their little back and forth. Constance is yelling at him and he's crying like a little boy. And he's like, I don't know why I'm evil. Sometimes it just happens and I just black out and it happens. And then she grabs him by the throat and like throws him against the wall and is like, you're not my grandson. And he's like crying and is like sad. And it's like, okay. So he like is telling the truth here. Cause like we have never seen Michael Langdon have the capacity to like fake an emotion. Like he never fakes his emotions. He's not like a weird manipulative, like he's not like that. So he's like very clearly like, just scared. He's just a little kid who's being yelled at right now and does not understand what's happening. And now his grandma is like choking him against the wall. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. And she's like, I don't give a shit. Get the fuck out of my house. And then he's like, he goes nasty mode for a second and chokes her back. Which, again, from the perspective of a little kid who doesn't know what's happening, it kind of, like, makes sense. And then she's like, do it, kill me. And he doesn't because he's a little kid who doesn't know any better. And then she slaps the... I'm four. and then she's
kill me. Kill me already.
I'm literally 4 years old. Please.
Pick up the gun.
No.
Grandma, I just wanted fruit snacks.
You need to cut Grandma's head off right now.
Please. And he doesn't kill her because he's a little kid who loves his grandma. And then she slaps the fuck out of him and calls him a coward. And then he like sniffles and he's like all weepy. And he like puts on his little denim jacket and starts running out the front door like a little kid running away from home. And because he literally does like a little kid run. Like I cannot overstate that he's like the grown ass Michael Langdon, but he's doing like a little kid run and does not check both ways before running out the street. And you might be thinking, Liz, why is that relevant? Like, he's just crossing the street to get to Murder House for some reason. Why would that be relevant?
Here comes Daredevil.
Here we go, motherfucker.
from the corner with a steel chair, it's Mallory in a fucking SUV, and she just launches that little bastard, just slams into him.
You know,
that's right. I learned the most important spell of all from Cordelia. It's that don't trust witch magic; it always fails. Trust American engineering. That'll get it done.
Incredible. Incredible, this scene, you know. And here's how I think you rewrite it better, right? You take out all the abuse from before, right? You just have a bunch of yelling, he runs away, and he's still a little kid, and then Mallory smacks him into him. Commit to the fucking bit, you know what I mean? Like, let's just go for it, because right now it's just sort of like, I turned back time to run over a little kid in an adult's body, and it's super bizarre. But,
I hit baby Hitler with my car. Yeah, that's what it became, right. Is I hit baby Hitler with my car. She could have picked any point in time. Like, she could have picked, like, any point in time that he was alive. She could have picked the point in time where Tate impregnated what's-her-name's mom and could have just stopped him from existing.
Oh, my God, that's so much better.
I would argue that maybe Mallory is secretly a little more vindictive than we're willing to give her credit based on some things she goes on to do. I think Mallory might be a little bit of a bitch. So she was like, I'm going to wait until the saddest this little bastard is, and then I'm going to slam him with an SUV. And then as soon as he, like, comes to and is like, oh, no, I'm bleeding, I'll be like, and I'm in reverse. Yeah, I run him over again.
Fuck up over him. Incredible.
She runs over him 3 times. She backs up and runs over him 3 times while Constance watches, and then she just fucking drives away. I'm like, okay, that's maybe the most insulting part of all of this.
Yeah, like, doesn't even, like, to get out to check isn't just like, all right, let me make sure this fucker ain't breathing. Because, like, Mallory, you've seen him be filled with bullet holes. You saw someone essentially unload a Tommy gun into his chest, and he bled out onto the ground, and then his blood just went back into him, and he stood up. Like, why are you not at least just being like, I mean, I should check and make sure he's not breathing.
You know what? You know what? If you're wrong, the world ends. Just fucking double tap. Like, check, look, kick him. I don't know, you know? Prod him with a stick.
Scoop up the body. Put it in the back of the van. Chop it up into bits. Later, distribute the bits.
Yeah,
give it the Michael Myers treatment, where if you're not sure if he's dead or not, spoilers for the most recent Halloween, which was, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, put him in a wood chipper. Toss that bad boy in a wood chipper so you know he's not getting up again. Yeah, wow. They finally put him in a wood chipper. They're like, I mean, he's pretty dead. We're pretty sure we've killed him, but just to be safe, he's going in the wood chipper. And you know
I think it's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. Absolutely.
It only took them 50 years to finally put Michael Myers in a wood chipper.
I mean, you know, the Crystal Lake people are like, shit, we should do that next time. Yeah, absolutely. I get it. But,
if only people would stop accidentally resurrecting Jason Voorhees. This is an ongoing problem.
And sending him to space.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Stop doing that.
He had a bad time up there. They had a bad time with him up there. Nobody had a good time. Yeah. But not only does she not check, he's also not dead yet, which is, like, probably indicative that she probably should have stopped and checked. Constance, like, finally goes out in the street and, like, lifts his head up to, like, cradle him as he's dying. And he's like, I'm so scared, Grandma. Can you carry me to the ghost house so that we can be together forever? And, like, he's being fully sincere. He's a little kid who just got fucking BTFO'd by a Range Rover. And he's super scared because his grandma just yelled at him and a guy with a cross just tried to kill him. And he's very scared and, like, very vulnerable. And he wants his grandma to, like, help save his life. And then they have Constance be like, fuck you, hate you, die, I hate you so much.
That priest set me back.
Yeah, and then she just, like, leaves him to die, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Talk about a loose end. Imagine if she had brought him in and he was just an eternal. Oh, congratulations. You've turned our greatest nightmare into an eternal ghost. Great job.
Ghost
now
Satan.
We can't. Now we don't know how the fuck to deal with ghosts. One of them cooked Queenie. Like,
and then Mallory's like, all right, I guess I got to rewind again. Try again. Reload, save, you know.
I'm still going to hit him with a car. You know what? I'm still going to hit him with the same car, but I'm going to try it again.
I'm going to take another crack at the Russian princess thing. I think I can get it this time.
Yeah. I have a Range Rover now. It'll be different.
Sneaking through the wall.
Weirdest fucking, like, advertisement tie-in. Like, the Range Rover, when you need to change the past. Like,
And I cannot overstate, because then it does, like, this, like, pull-out scene where it, like, the camera pans up and we just see him bleeding out on the ground. Again, it's very sad, because this is just a little kid who just got his whole shit rocked for, like, no reason. He dies in the Family Guy pose.
Yeah,
he dies in the
Family Guy
pose.
He's like somewhere between Yamcha in a crater and the Family Guy death pose. It's no good. It's like, at some point, you could add this to that hall of, like, most embarrassing positions to die in.
And he's wearing, like, clothes that are too small because he's a 16-year-old and a little
Fauntleroy-looking ass. Oh, no, they killed Donald Duck.
It's so sad, but, like, not in a real motivating way. It's just sad for a lot of other reasons. If their intention was to make me feel bad for Michael Langdon and hate everybody else in the show with this scene, they succeeded. Because that's so fucking, like, that's
so funny.
So insulting so funny. To the Antichrist to hit him with a fucking car. To hit him with a fucking car.
It's insulting to the viewers, too, to just be like, yeah, we shot him with a machine gun, but he knew how powerful he was, so that didn't count. But if you just hit him with a car, yeah, Satan can't do anything about that, it turns out.
Yeah, also his dad, Satan, did not save him. He just fully died.
Yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. That's a pretty dog shit ending, Liz. Great news.
Yeah.
There's still episode left. For better or worse, it's going to be worse. There's still episode left. A not insignificant amount of episode left.
Yeah. For what it's worth, normally there's a whole episode of, like, recap and where are they now. At least in this season, it's only like half an episode of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead,
we pissed
around with, like, five episodes of flashback we didn't need. So now, because they did not even a little bit want to try and, like, justify, like, timelines or, like, time travel or how it affects and makes branching timelines, they didn't want to even touch that. They're just like, no, this is the new one. This is the new timeline. And it's just fine. It's fine. There's no ramifications. It's fine.
I like to think it's from the perspective of Mallory, who is a little bit head empty. I think this is the thing where, like, everybody's just been the whole time, like, Mallory's so good at magic. She's so good at everything. She's really incredible. But every time we've seen her, she's just been very ineffective and very like, oh, can someone please tell me what to do? Like, that's been her character the whole time. So I think it's just a case of they were, like, constantly gassing Mallory up. And she's just, like, a little dumb and, like, can time travel. But in the same way that Zoe could kill someone with her vagina, it's not like it was, like, a talent thing. It's just, like, she could do that.
Yeah. I'd also like to touch on, like, not to put the cart before the horse here, but the rest of the episode is all, like, here's how the world is now from Mallory's point of view, and she's giving, like, voiceover, showing all the things that, like, did or did not happen because of what happened. And I'm like, okay, so one of the biggest things starting now is that she goes to the school so that she can be a witch again, and Cordelia's alive. So, quick question. If Mallory has the full supreme powers and Cordelia's alive again...
Yeah.
That's the question. That's it. That's the end of the question.
That's also the answer.
Are
there two supreme souls at the same time? Is that, like, a big problem long term? Find out next time in Coven 2. That's probably not what happens in that season, but they're gonna watch that for 10,000 years. Yeah, they have forgotten already for sure.
Or no, you know what? No, when they come out with season 13, Coven 3, you know, which they are, by the way. Wait, is it 13?
Like,
or 14?
Definitively.
Whatever.
Like, we're not, like, doing a bit.
That's
like,
not
they've
a joke.
Straight up
it really
said
is.
It. Like, it's literally another Coven season.
They will address that in, like, one brief aside, and it'll be infuriating. It'll be like, oh, yeah, well, in this timeline, you're not the Supreme anymore, so you can't reverse time anymore, so that's why we can't use it for whatever dumb plot shit we have until the very end when you do use it, and we forgot we said that earlier in the season.
And also because prediction. That wouldn't make any sense based on how she was able to time travel to do this in the first place.
Yeah.
So they're both alive. And both the Supreme, I guess. Maybe she's not the Supreme, and that's why she had to hit him with a car. Which, if that's the case, extremely funny, because it means a witch never had to be the one to kill Michael Langdon. It could have just been anybody with a car.
But you know what? Like, if they had just, like, called that out, at least you could, it would be kind of, like, interesting. Like, the one problem is, though, I'll still be alive, so you can't time travel again, which would give it, like, a little jeopardy. And then when she hits her with the car, it's kind of a funny resolution of, like, oh, well, yeah, she didn't have, like, the same powers that she did or whatever, so she had to resort to this. You know, but they don't do any of that, so she just hits them with a car, and it's just absurd. So
the wizard pulling out just a regular fucking pistol and shooting the other guy is like a classic twist. Like literally the end of the film Wizards. The only good scene from the film Wizards is where the wizard that is not a Nazi pulls out a gun and shoots the wizard that is a Nazi after saying like, here's the one spell I learned from mom and just shoots him with a gun. And it's sick. And they could have done that. They could have done like, again, just like the only thing I learned from witch school is that the spells clearly don't work against you, and then just hit him with the car, anything.
So now it's time to do the recap portion, kind of the like future recap. So Mallory is fiddling with a dead moth in her hands, and she brings it back to life, which means she clearly still has her magic. She's like, matter can neither be created or destroyed, it can only be transferred. And I'm like, okay, well, that's nothing for no one. And now we get another 2015 title card, which I think is really fucking funny, because it's like, we figured it was the same time. The time didn't change. It's the same time as it was in the last scene. I gathered that. That's how TV usually works, actually.
Did you forget what year it was from like 5 minutes ago? Well, you know.
It's just so funny when people do like talk about conservation of energy, which is like a very like boring concept of just like, yeah, if you burn gasoline like that, it's just turning into heat and then spreading out and becoming part, you know, like entropy and all that. And then just applying it to like energy, like my fireball charge, like how much ki I have to shoot Hadoukens. Like it's not what it means. It's like really boring. It's like if an object is really high up and then it falls down, it's just converting potential into kinetic. It's not there's not new energy being made. It just was already there in the form of potential. Whatever. We can't do this. <It's>
like, she wanted to say a cool thing.
Actually, yeah, it's about how much chi you have stored in your balls.
It's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry, we devour. The Rock taught me that. Dwayne The Rock Johnson taught me that.
That's the truth.
I bet Mallory could revive like 5-10 moths easy.
Yeah, easy peasy. Cordelia walks in. It's like Mallory's first day, quote unquote. And Mallory hugs Cordelia, and it's her first day at the Coven. And Cordelia's like, wow, this lady's super nice. This girl's super nice. And then Mallory is giving voiceover, and she's like, nobody remembers me, and everything is saved. Myrtle never got brought back to life, and that's good. And everyone remembers her as being super cool, but the like show wants you to be sad about it, and I'm like, no, Myrtle pretty explicitly said she did not want to be brought back to life, and Cordelia did it anyway, so this is maybe the only happy ending out of all of the things we're about to talk about. Another very baffling thing, Queenie is also there. I tried to place this timeline because of how fucking infuriating it is. It checks out by like a few days. So Michael was born in March 2012. Queenie went to the Cortez in 2015. Michael saved her what could have not been more than a month after she got trapped in the Cortez. So it wasn't as dire as Cordelia made it out to be. And then Queenie promptly in the previous timeline before we fixed everything, quote unquote. So Queenie had all that shit happen, went to the Cortez, got stuck there for a month, got brought back by the Antichrist, and then died like 2 weeks later by being shot by a robot. Insane week for Queenie. Insane month for Queenie. McQueenie's alive now, and she's like, I'm going to L.A. to do The Price is Right, which is what happened in season 5 and when I went to the Cortez. And Mallory goes, L.A. has pretty bad traffic. And Queenie's like, you're right. I never considered that.
Yeah, fuck my plans. I'll just go refund that plane ticket and also cancel that reservation. And that Michelin star restaurant I had set up for, I'll just cancel that, well, too. You're right, Mallory. Because, of course, there's traffic. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, here's the thing, everybody. You can't tell people you're from the future. You can see the future. It's not like you're in fucking magic school for witches.
Yeah. Also, why? Like, you're telling me there's no ramifications for changing a major historical event, but you also aren't allowed to tell anybody that you time traveled? Why? If that didn't have any negative effect, why would telling anybody have any negative effect?
Also, like, someone who is able to detect danger is already a known quantity. Like, that's, like, a thing
that's
that
can
happen.
Saying.
So you can just be like, yeah, like, I have a danger sense. You need to choose a different hotel. Like, trust me. Yeah. And if one of the other, like, younger witches who was on the up and up, who seemed to be doing pretty well, came up to you, like, pleading with tears in her eyes, like, just any other hotel, please, I think you'd be like... Yeah, okay. I can pick another hotel. Yeah. Like, it wasn't that good of one. Yeah, like, it's fine.
You know, there's probably like a thing like Cordelia said, listen, if some witch tells you don't do a thing, probably don't do it. You know, like, they have some, you know, there's a reason. You know, you should trust that. Like, you know why? Because we're in magic school and shit like this happens. Like,
But, yeah, I don't think anybody would question it if she was like, hey, part of my powers is that sometimes I can see the future. If she wanted to lie about it, and then, like, I feel like that'd probably go over pretty well. Not, traffic in LA is really bad. I'm like, do you have any idea how pissed I would be if I came up to, like, my group of friends and was like, guys, I just booked my flight. I'm going on this super cool trip that I'm really excited about. And some person I didn't fucking know
walked up
and was like, yeah, there's a lot of traffic there. I'm like, no shit, idiot. You don't think I know that? Like, God forbid there's cars where I'm going. If there's cars where I'm going, I'm fucking out of there. I'm no thank you. This works. And Queenie doesn't get sent to the Hotel Cortez, which, okay. Then she's like, Mallory, still giving voiceover, is like, Madison is still in hell, and they're probably gonna have to bring her back. And I'm like, why? She was, like, the easiest one to, like, revive. Like, she just died regular. She can just be regular revived if it's that important. Then something infuriating happens.
Yeah, because the problem was that Cordelia didn't know she was killed or why, right?
Yeah, she doesn't know zombie Kyle, like, snapped her neck in season 3.
Yeah.
Because Zoe didn't tell her. So Zoe is culpable for Madison's murder, and no one told Cordelia, nor did Cordelia follow up on it. It's a very easily rectifiable situation that is only happening because no one is taking the initiative to fix it, which makes this next part even worse, where Mallory is like, Madison is still in hell, and then it cuts to Madison, who is back in her hell, living her hell nightmare, where she's having to work retail, and then Mallory's like, hee-hee, she can sweat it out a bit longer. I'm like, you dense bitch. The last thing you saw Madison do was sacrificing her fucking life so that you could have a few more minutes to save everybody. Her last thing that she did, her dying breath, was to save you specifically. Specifically and, you.
And thereby the world, you know?
Yes. Enjoy a little more time in hell. Not good enough. You should have been nicer to me. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Was Mallory, wait a minute, Madison, was Madison really that mean to Mallory? Like, she was mean to, like,
no.
Zoe and other characters in season 3, but, like, Mallory wouldn't know that, you know what I mean? Like, get out of here.
Mallory was, like, a little goober. Like, I guess the closest justification, and this makes me wonder if originally Coco just full didn't exist and it was just Madison the whole way front to back, and they like forgot to, or they just like forgot that it wouldn't make sense and they wouldn't be able to have Madison in the identity spell or fucking whatever. So instead they were like, oh, well, we'll just have Coco have Madison's personality, and they just like forgot that it wasn't actually Madison, so it's her like taking revenge of the time she was beat. That, but like, that's Cordelia right. cast a spell of be mean to Mallory. It's not her fault. Like, it's Cordelia's fault. She's the one who's like, by the way, we're going to make Coco kind of a bitch so you don't remember you're a witch.
Like, it's imperative that Coco is mean to you for some reason. Yeah.
I think you nailed it, though. That must be the explanation, right? Because that does make a lot of sense. That, like you would...
I'm sure that the writers would say something to the effect of like, oh, it's because Madison didn't get to have her character growth. But I'm like, that doesn't count because you proved that character under almost like no like strong arming by any other characters by her own volition can be a good person and will be a good person if given the opportunity and like the opportunity to choose to be a good person. You have proven that character has that capacity without like extenuating circumstances just by the plot moving forward.
She was already a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Like we already had a character arc with her. Like I don't want to go too deep into it, her whole story arc started with her like being a survivor of sexual assault and like growing through that. And there was like an understanding of why she's a bit prickly with some stuff. And like we thought we already did this. It's like we like Madison. It's cool. Yeah. Like even if like she's a little shitty sometimes, we collectively the audience like Madison.
Or like even if she was shitty, if you were like didn't want to even if you even forgot that part of it, and you're like she was kind of shitty in season 3 and all that. It's like great, she has redeemed herself at 8 by saving the fucking world, sacrificing herself to buy my family's time. For God's sake, it doesn't make sense.
No, fuck her. She has to stay in hell for a little while. Her murder has to go unsolved. I really literally think, like, you guys have put a lot more thought into this than I did, because I think that it literally is just that they did not want to have to rectify that it's really fucked up that Zoe was the cause of Madison's death and also did not tell Cordelia, and had nothing happened pre the apocalypse, Madison would have stayed dead forever and stayed murdered and no one would have been any of the wiser. And that makes Zoe look really fucking bad. And they just didn't want to address that makes Zoe look really fucking bad.
It takes Mallory showing up, or else Madison's just down there forever, like just resting piss, pepperoni and chiss, I guess. You're in there.
Got murdered for the crime of Chex Notes wanting to be polyamorous with the zombie. And then just nothing, no one ever came looking for her, I guess. You know who is here and also no one came looking for her? Nan's also here with Misty. Coincidentally, all these people showed up on the same day. And because Mallory killed Michael, she can just tell demons to give people back. And she... says that,
it makes no sense.
Yeah,
no,
she says she convinced demons to let these two go because she killed Michael.
Gave me a lot of street cred that I killed the son of Satan. I believe she says, you know how a lot of people hate their boss? Turns out that goes all the way up, or all the way down, as it were. And it's like, no, you don't get to be witty here. Like, fuck off. That doesn't make it. Like, they were on board with him when he showed up and grabbed people to leave. Like, he was like, fellas, what's good? And they were like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's my fellas. See ya.
Those are my guys. Also, I don't think, like, she says, like, I guess even demons hate their boss. And I'm like, I don't think that's how that works. They're not like employees. They're not under the crushing weight of capitalism. Like, they're supernatural deities.
And who's really known for like keeping a deal and being like good to you and stuff? Demons. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, great.
Fucking ridiculous. Nan gives us a little exposition that explains that she and Papa Legba ... are the ones who saved Misty. So I don't know what the fuck Mallory was just talking about. And then Nan calls Papa Legba her boo, who he sends on errands. And I don't think the writers of the show know what that means.
Let's hope not.
Because that's really fucking weird if that's the case. Like, granted, we established that Nan was fucking in season 3, but like, fucking Papa Legba's like a different thing, I think. Like, that's different.
There's a power imbalance, I guess, right? Yeah. Like, it's, you know?
There's a, I mean, like, whatever. I just genuinely right. don't think that yeah, they know Nan what it means.
Clearly wears the pants in that relationship. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And she's like, well, gotta go back to my boo. And then she just leaves. And Cordelia's like, wait, what? I don't understand. And like, that's fair, because we reverse time, Cordelia doesn't even know Nan got given to Papa Legba by Marie Laveau and Fiona. So I would be confused if I was Cordelia also, if one of my students who just disappeared was like, hey, I've been fucking Papa Legba, bye. and then Nan's like, don't care, and then she just leaves. And I know what you're thinking. That's all the loose ends we need to wrap up, right? Wrong. We have another sequence of scenes. And this is maybe the most confusing sequence of scenes of the whole season.
Hey, do you remember in episode 1 and episode 2 and like some of episode 3 where there were checks notes? Teens with perfect genetics. I'm being informed I'm on a list now for saying that. What a shame. But there are teens with perfect genetics, and they the co-op was gonna have them have a kid for nefarious reasons, except then like for some reason they were like, we'll give you control, random lady who was kind of mean to us all the time. And she was like, hey, no sex. That's my, I have two moves. Cube, tasteless cube, no sex. That's
it. They're very powerful for what it's worth. Also, it's very confusing because I will remind everybody, they were brought into the bomb shelter by the co-op to like repopulate the earth, which that is has a whole lot of questions associated with it that are very confusing now that we know what the co-op is. Because, like, what? Like, why do you want to repopulate the Earth? You, like, wanted to end it or whatever. Whatever.
Well, I guess, well, because we'll see what happens, right?
But why would they need... We'll get there. Anyway, yeah, exactly. It's 2020 now. We have another title card. It's 2020 now. And it's outside of a coffee shop. And Emily, the girl, is protesting child labor. And she literally physically runs into Timothy, the boy, and spills his coffee. And then they have a little conversation that's dumb and bad. And he drops in the middle of that conversation that he took a 23andMe to like remind us that that's what happened and how the co-op found them or whatever.
He's got perfect genes. Yeah.
He signs your petition.
I took a 23 in me, and it just came back with a big A plus.
An S. I got an S on mine. he signs her petition because that's the important part of her character, and she agrees to go on a date with him. And then this scene is really long. And then he ends it by saying, it's nice to meet someone who's clearly going to change the world. Another title card, 1 year later, so 2021, and she's in the fucking hospital giving birth to their child. 1 year
time
later.
Pregnancy, 3 months maximum. Good dude. Yeah. Absolutely. Just like, all right, we're doing pregnancy. I'm getting there immediately. Like, holy shit. Weren't they like 18 or 17, 18 or something? Like, that was the idea. That's like quite fast.
Well,
because he was getting admitted to college, right? That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
they said 2020. They said 2020. So that's like a year or two after the bombs drop, allegedly. So because time just went on like normal because Satan didn't exist or whatever.
So 19 or
yeah,
20.
Not much then. Better. They immediately met and then he knocked her up like day one, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And then we literally.
Yeah, it's not like a high school sweetheart situation. Like they didn't know each other at all. Damn. Yeah. Man works fast.
Yeah. Started fucking and didn't know a goddamn thing about birth control. And we get the scene of her giving birth 1 year later. That scene is roughly 5 seconds long. And then we get another fucking title card, motherfuckers, because five title cards in the span of 5 minutes is not an insane thing to do. Now it's 3 years later. So I guess it's 2024 now. and they're in the car in the front of their house that they own as 24 and 25 year olds in California. And they're talking about a date they just went on and how shitty dog shit their kid is. They get out of the car and they start walking inside the house. This is fucking baffling. As they are outside the house, still a pretty far distance away from the house, Emily goes, the AC went out again. It's so hot in here. And I'm like, you're in the fucking driveway. What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, the most charitable thing you could say is like, maybe they saw their AC unit acting weird on the way up, but like, no, it truly is just, it would be like me, just like anyone walking up to their house before they open the front door and being like, oh, it's so hot inside. Like, you're not there. What do you mean?
Oh, the car's acting up again, I say as I unlock my front door. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, plumbing's busted, I say, from the front yard.
Checking my mailbox. Oh, toilet's down. Oh, no.
Also, the sky is like blood red and there's like hella crows outside their house, and I'm like, nobody wanted to mention that. I feel like I'd bring that up if I got out of my car and the sky was red and there was like a billion crows outside my house. I'd be like, that's a little weird, right?
Leaning back, looking up. Hey, crows, hot enough for
you? Yeah. AC's out again, jackass. Yeah. They go inside the house that's too hot, allegedly. And she's like, Timothy, do you have money for the babysitter? And he's like, is $10 as a tip enough? And I'm like, did you not discuss how much you were going to pay the babysitter ahead of time? Yeah. That's how babysitters work in my experience, is like, you're like, I'm going to give you $50 to watch my kid. Or you just give it beforehand. You're like, here's $50, watch my kid.
Like, it's not a service industry thing. Like, well, this kid seems extra happy, so extra for you. Here's 20%. You know, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know.
Also, a $10 tip, like, is this now a tipping situation? Like, you weren't going to pay her? You were going to tip her based on how, like, cool your kid was afterwards? Like, if he wasn't dead, she'd get a tip? And, like, if he was bad, like, she wouldn't?
One eye? Yeah, I don't know. You're not getting 15% on that. Sorry.
And then they're like, well, let's go check on our baby. And they go and check on the baby, and there's blood everywhere, and their baby, which they named Devin because they, I guess, thought it sounded kind of close to like devil or demon perhaps, but they didn't want to commit to Damien because they're pussies. The babies killed the babysitter, and then the Satanists show up. And they're like,
yeah, like,
yippee!
As they're panicking, there's just like a ding-dong, and they're just like, oh, brother, what now? As they couldn't get any more annoying. First, the AC is out from outside. Second of all, there's these damn crows. There's going to be crow shit all over the roof. Now I killed the fucking babysitter, and now someone's at my front door? Oh, great, it's a bunch of weirdos in black robes. And they do, like, they open the door, and they do this incredible reveal of them just being like, oh, it is us, the Satanists. And it's like, who else was it going to be? This isn't like a big twist. They said, they're like, yeah, we saw the crows circling and knew the Antichrist would be here, so we're here. It's like the wise men, but evil.
Also, thinking about it from the perspective of Timmy and Emmy, it's not like Constance, where like this kid's been killing like little animals. They've just mentioned that he's been like a little shitty, and he's like way younger than Michael was when Michael was doing murders. So from the perspective of these two, they came home, found the babysitter dead. They don't know that their kid killed the babysitter. That's not the logical first thought a normal person would have. Right. Constance Langdon is surrounded by demons and ghosts at all times, so it makes sense that she would make that connection, but not these two who are just people.
I had created a rose garden out of corpses already. So, like, she knew, as opposed to, you'd walk in and be like, oh my God, the babysitter killed themselves in front of my child.
Right.
I hope my child is okay.
Or, like, there's a murderer here that spared the baby or might still be here. Yeah.
Perhaps there's someone in our house that maybe could hurt us, would be my first thought. And then someone knocks on the door and you're like, well, time to go open the front door. Surely there will be no negative repercussions for this.
Like, all right, 1 second, murder scene. Now I have to go check out the door.
I sure hope this isn't Danny Trejo in a Santa Claus outfit with a big fucking hatchet.
Oh my god. Yeah, and like it's the Satanists, because who the fuck else would it be? It'd be really awkward if it was just like, I don't know, like the DoorDash driver trying to drop off their Burger King, the babysitter's Burger King. That would be really awkward.
Or like Danny Trejo, but he's just like lost in the neighborhood. Like he's not like part of the scene. He's just nearby.
Yeah, can you tell me how to get to Jollibee? Danny Trejo.
yeah, I heard they opened a Jollibee around. I really wanted to try that chicken. It seems good.
And then the implication is that the baby is the new Antichrist. So why would those two have been sent to the bunker in the other timeline to make a second Michael after the world is already over?
Like a backup one? Is it like a...
But he won.
Is it like a Supreme thing? He did win, yeah.
Michael won, and they're already making his replacement? That's fucked up.
That's corporate for you, you know?
And but you can't, like unfuck up the world. Like, you don't really need a devil to at that point, because, like, you've already, like, the world's gone. You did nuclear war. It's gone.
I think they wanted the twist. It's like Cordelia's Legion line, right? Where it's like, we want the twist, even though it doesn't make any sense and really doesn't work and makes it more confusing, you know? Like, oh, but like, see, get it? They're the cooperative. So they would genetically breed them not to repopulate the Earth, but to make the Antichrist. What's that you say? That doesn't collide with any, or that doesn't work with anything else I wrote in the entire season? Well, leave it. We're done, you know?
Also, they're trying to pitch it like it's some big crazy idea that like, oh, the Antichrist, when you kill him, he just reincarnates into someone else. And it's like, that's the Supreme. That's like a core conceit of your fucking show already. Is there's just this like floating nebulous force in the universe that decides to inhabit someone. And if that person dies, it just floats around and finds someone else through some strange means we don't fully comprehend. So when they're like, oh no, the Antichrist can just like show up somewhere else. It's like, yeah, I assume that he's the devil, you know?
Yeah, it's
from the Bible?
It's even more confusing when you remember that like Michael Langdon's whole backstory for that whole episode that we got Michael Langdon's backstory was that like, oh, it like he was born of the perfect storm of like the most evil guy, Tate Langdon, being possessed by the most evil house and impregnating a lady, which is like super evil because it's his girlfriend's mom, which is also fucked up. So like Michael was born of like the most fucked up circumstances possible, which is why he was able to be the Antichrist. This was just a baby that was born to two people that like had no extenuating circumstances.
Allegedly people who are like pretty good. Like one of them was protesting for like human rights.
Right? It's like, yeah, because they're trying, you know, like, oh, well, you know, they're genetically perfect to be evil. Like, not really. She seems good. Yeah, like she's fine. What are you talking about? Like,
and Timmy seems like a pretty nice boy. Like he didn't have anything. Like he was a little stupid.
A little lunk.
Yeah. But like, other than that, pretty nice fella. He seemed like pretty wholesome. Like pretty down to earth. Pretty solid fella with pretty good morals. Whatever. And also that opens up the concept of, well, fuck all the stuff we just did then, because there can just be a new one, and you're gonna have to be hunting antichrists for forever because he could pop up anywhere. They picked Los Angeles twice, but like it could be anywhere. The devil really likes Los Angeles, but like it could be anywhere. Keep that in mind, Mallory, if in case you need to time travel again.
And it would be so cool if they did a story of like the slow creeping realization of Mallory having to reveal what has happened to the rest of the witches because she realizes it is in fact going to happen an additional time and that she needs to stop it somehow. And like, if only we had like, I don't know, three more episodes of time to like explore that concept, I think that could be pretty neat. Regrettably, we decided to have a weird like, only royals are allowed to wear purple, and you're gonna eat a soup made out of a man. Like, I don't know why we did this.
Yeah, we invented be cool with cannibalism for some reason, even though that's not at all related to her character for some reason. It was the scoliosis. What am I saying? So, now that we're done with the season, There are some key plot points that happen.
She just hit him with a car.
She just hit him with a car.
Sorry, I just want to loop around again. She just hit him with a fucking car, like three times. Just smacked him with an SUV. That's the big answer. That is the answer to the question of how do you kill the perfect unkillable hell machine is you hit him with a car.
Yeah, he's not like omnipotent in all the other episodes where we see him. So like someone could have just like hit him with a baseball bat or like a comically large hammer at any given point in time. And it would have been fine.
What if Brock hated men?
Yeah.
If Brock hated men, this would all be so easy.
True. God. Yeah. So I would like to remind the audience of some things that happened during this season that were kind of like played for pretty big emotional impact because they were kind of big things that they showed us finally got rectified that maybe some people would have had issue with from previous seasons. The first one being maybe the most important one and the one that the most people were upset about. Fuck Moira. Moira and her happy ending. Eat shit. It's didn't happen. Call me Jonathan Frakes. The way it didn't happen, we made it up. Fuck Moira, I guess.
Yep.
In that same vein, speaking of Murder House, Tate and Violet never reconciled and Constance never died.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about either of those things. It's just important to me that you guys know that they took time out of the show to show us both of those things happening only for them not to matter. Because they didn't actually happen because we changed the past. We've already talked about Cordelia not knowing that Madison is dead and that Zoe is the reason and that Zoe is technically an accessory to her murder. All of the Satanists in the co-op are still alive. Mallory did not provide any of that information to the school about a pretty important group of people that I think it would be very important that the witches know about. Who cares? They're alive. The warlocks are still alive, and they hate the witches. There's been no reconciliation. Yeah, they just hate them again.
They are still... They're still making the
witch anthrax.
Anthrax for women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They still probably plan on murdering the witches at some point, because they never reconciled. Queenie never went to the Cortez, so I guess in season 5, Ramona never got the witch blood, which they made seem like it was going to be a big deal, and then it didn't do anything in the show anyway. So I guess it's fine, because John just shot Lady Gaga with a gun in that season. So the witch blood, which was why she needed it, didn't matter. Neither did Queenie being in that season. Queenie being in that season, turns out, can just be completely removed, and it didn't affect the season at all. Yeah, so that was season 8.
Holy shit. We always talk about them not being able to like stick a landing and like get the ending correct and whatnot, but this is the most blatant I feel like it's ever been, where it just truly was like, oh no, we don't have a plan for this.
No,
we I don't know, he dies. I don't know, she goes back in time, he dies, the end. Like, what the fuck do you mean? We were just trying to write a bunch of exciting set pieces in a row. Like, did you like with the underground school? No? Oh, okay, sorry.
This season is like a total mess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like redeeming about it. Because like usually like, well, maybe like I used to think Cult was the worst, but like the Cult at least is like kind of a story that goes through it. And this is like,
it's like trying to make a point. It like doesn't.
Right.
It's like stupid and bad and doesn't, but like it's trying to do something. This is just like,
yeah,
a toddler wrote a story.
There's like six. Yeah. There's like six characters in here that have like no purpose whatsoever. You know, like they're just like there's just like this misdirection. Bubbles? You know, of like there's story. And then like I don't know about you, but the most satisfying like way to defeat a villain is just like let's just rewind. Let's just undo. It's fine. Don't worry.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Like what are we doing?
And of course. The really cool part is it means if for some reason in the future they decide to do like more with these characters, like let's say they make another Coven season, for example, which that's great. They would never. They've already announced that. They have now removed all of this season from that season. Like, if they ever reference this season, it has to be as, like, an annoying wink at the camera. Or, like, Mallory being like, oh, that's crazy that that would happen. Wink. And it's just like, I'm gonna fucking hate it. Like, they Sonic 06 their goddamn season. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we just go back in time. This whole thing... None of it counts. Soliana's not real. Don't ask me for shit.
The end, no moral. Yeah. Incredible.
There never was an apocalypse. There never were any nukes. Coco, I guess, just gets stuck in gluten mode forever.
Good thing that bitch Mallory's in hell, though, where she belongs for a little bit. Ha ha! Like, well, okay, that too, sure. Right? Thanks.
What? Like, damn, too. Like, don't get me wrong. I've had some people I get frustrated with. I have some people that I would consider, like, you know, letting them suffer a little bit. But if they were, like, in hell, right, I'd be like, well, I'm not an asshole. I'm going to get you out of there.
I'm sorry I didn't post the links to last week's audio in time, okay? You got it.
Right? You can spend a little more time in hell, slow beef.
Yeah, like, what is the correct level of, like, vindictiveness to leave someone in hell? Because I feel like hell is, like, by definition about as bad as it gets. Like, is there, like, a fair equivalent balance for time in hell? I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. And it's not like that's what made, it's not like, oh, we're keeping her in hell because that's what made her a better person. It's just, no, I just want her to be sad. I just want her to have a bad time. Because that's not where Madison became a better person. She became a better person in the real world, where she was forced to be selfless, like Iron Man. but they've decided that Mallory mean, because we wrote her that way. So it's fine that some characters would want to be vindictive towards her.
It feels like the ending was written for Reddit. And for, like, the opinions of Reddit rather than, like, for the completeness of the story.
Right.
Like, they were just like, forget a narrative. Let's make all the people who post about this on, you know, the ICQ boards, like, lose their minds.
Ooh. Well, that's season 8. For better or worse.
Fucking crazy. Yeah, thanks for sharing this with me. This has been incredible. Like, you could have given me 10,000 guesses and 1,000 years to figure out how this season would go at, like, 5 different points. Never would have come close. Nah. Truly just a beautiful machination. Things you could not... Just hits them with the car... A Russian princess.
That's... Like,
I hope she comes back.
Or the season titled Apocalypse, not too much apocalypse. You know, you'd think there'd be a bunch of it, but nah, it's fine. We got other
Remember when they cut up those snakes into rubber chunks and then the snakes came back and, like, no one mentioned that?
I remember. I do remember that. Yep.
Remember how Dinah had a gay son who was turned into meat? And that her having a son was never mentioned again, aside from the pun about his name and eating him.
I do remember his that now. You mention it.
Yeah, Stucifer. Right. Yeah. That's
right.
Yeah. Wow. So what is the next season? I know, Liz, you've been mentioning a little bit of excitement about the upcoming one.
All right, the title of it. Can I give you this? Can I give the title of it?
Yeah.
Stranger Things is really popular, so... Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's Stranger Things is airing right now, so we want to do that also, including the opening of it for the whole season. It is 1984, which is...
Oh, Stanger Tang.
Yeah, Stanger Tang.
Yeah.
Excited is probably doing a lot of heavy lifting. I remember it being, like, palatable because they just fully commit to, like, a campy, no pun intended, a summer camp slasher season, which is more like their show Scream Queens, which is a much better show, and it's not as bad as American Horror Story.
It's definitely still not great.
Oh, yeah, it's
season,
still
per se, but yeah.
Oh boy, like, do I remember one thing in particular about this season that's very not great, but it's something they've done before, so it will just be a return to form for them.
A very specific thing.
It's not just like, oh, they're doing the same plot device. No, they're doing the same thing with the same person. It'll be great.
What?
You'll see.
Funny is I was thinking of something else too, which is pretty cool. So, like, because I'm like, Liz, I know. Oh wait, I don't. I'm thinking of another wildly strange thing they do in there. But we'll see. I think.
Yep.
Well, yeah, till next time. Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed Apocalypse. I feel like every season at the end, I'm like, I hope you liked it, which I guess, like, if you're listening, probably, right? But seriously, thank you so much for listening. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you next season. Till next time, everyone. Have a great night.
Bye.